Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Ozzis from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Reba Haas from Team Reba.
And we're here every Saturday from 2 to 3 o'clock bringing you information on real estate and finance and other things important. And today is no exception. We have a lawyer in the house. We have Ryan Weatherstone with us.
Yes.
Ryan is an attorney with Puckett and Redford. Welcome, Ryan.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the invite and thanks for having me up.
Well, glad to have you here. Before we jump into the whole legal stuff.
Yes.
Reba, what's going on with the market? I'm hearing it's softening up.
It is. We started talking about this in June, July, mm-hmm. that we were seeing what we were calling the Seattle summer slump. And we do have more inventory on than typical. In fact, I've been, again, if people want to go to my Facebook page, my personal page, I've been posting things from the Northwest Multiple showing the actives to price reduced to pendings and sold stats. Mm-hmm. And those numbers of new listings and price reductions have been outpacing pending sales. So we do still see some homes that are selling in a few days or a week. But at least a good 50% of homes are taking anywhere from 30 to 60 days at least to sell. And so people have been overshooting the pricing market. And so we're seeing more price reductions. And, you know, we see the same thing in our team. Like we have several new listings right now. So we've got a condo in the Tremonti building on East Lake that's going to have open houses this weekend that mm-hmm. we're talking about, right? Yeah. And then I also have a condo in Kirkland that's a mm-hmm. two-bed, two-bath.
Really cool
beautiful,
one, by the way.
Yes, really cool one. And that's also on market. Both of those, by the way, one of them is a studio, and it's listed at $400,000. And the other one is two-bed, two-bath listed at $400,000 with two parking stalls. So it's interesting what you get from market to market, right?
Yeah,
that's one thing. But we are seeing a softening. So we're also starting to stop doing a lot of the offer review dates. And we're seeing more and more agents pulling offer review dates. Because at this point, you don't want to get a situation where actually you turn away buyers.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what's starting to happen. And I'll tell you, I was out last weekend with one of our mutual clients. And of the properties we looked at, all of them, we were in Bothell and Linwood primarily. And all of them had been on market 30 to 60 days at least. Every single one of them, and the price points were between $400,000 and $550,000.
This is a massive change from earlier this spring and most of last year.
Yeah. So well, and you were saying there's an appraiser out there.
Yeah, I just had an interaction with an appraiser who is looking at a property in North Seattle, basically stating that the market peaked this spring mm-hmm. and is making adjustments of 1% per month, saying every month we're dropping down 1%. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't agree with him on that.
Yeah.
It's just that we're seeing people who are overshooting pricing not adjusting. The agents aren't adjusting to the reality of what's going on.
Right.
And part of it is because I can tell you for a fact, some of those sellers haven't yet bought into the fact that this has happened.
That it's softening up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And we've been fighting that for months also, where you have a seller in, I don't know, let's say Federal Way or,
oh my gosh,
or Everett.
Don't get me started.
Or somewhere that they read what's going on in our local mm-hmm. Seattle market or Bellevue market and think that that's happening everywhere in the region, and it's not.
Well, you remember we had a mutual client, same thing, down in Federal Way, and the guy was like, no, my clients don't want to look at your early offer because, and I was like, why because? And he said, well, they're expecting cash and over asking. And I went, did you happen to notice? This guy had only done two deals prior to this.
Yep.
I said, did you happen to notice that every comp you have had financing? Not a single one had gone by cash. Like the cash buyers aren't in Federal Way, my friend. That's not what's happening in that market area. So it was very, very interesting in that conversation with him. And that's what finally got him to take our offer to his clients.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And it worked.
And we sold it. Yeah.
Good job. You did. That was very clever, by the way.
Thank you very much.
Just have to like that.
Yes.
So moving on.
Yes. So I'm
excited. How could we start a interview with an attorney without a good lawyer joke?
Not one of your jokes, please.
Oh. No, I won't. But you know what, Ryan? How many lawyer jokes do you think are out there?
Way too many. Way too many.
No, there's only three. All the rest are true stories.
Oh, so my there you gosh. Go. Oh, no. Anyway. Oh, you couldn't help yourself.
Just couldn't.
You couldn't help yourself. Oh my gosh. We're so sorry about that, listeners. So, or at least I am.
Well,
if you saw his face, Eric's smiling broadly because he's so proud of himself right now.
That's right.
Thankfully, our guest is also laughing. So thank you, Ryan, for laughing, because don't egg him on. Okay.
Yeah,
don't do any more of that.
Don't encourage him. Yeah.
So for our listeners,
do
how
not
I
feed
met
the radio host.
Exactly. So how I met Ryan and how he ended up on our show today was I got to kind of MC, I guess, the legal forum for the Rental Housing Association of Washington. And they had a series of panelists. And Ryan was one of the panel members fielding questions from the audience about landlord-tenant laws and things of that nature. So thank you again for accepting our invitation to be on the show. It's great to have you here.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Yeah,
appreciate
absolutely
that.
So loved so many of the answers that you had at that function. And I wanted to have our listeners get an opportunity, because we cover four main segments within this this real estate show. And they're usually Residential Insider, Investor Angle, Green Building and Design, and then Regional Impact. And right now, landlord-tenant law has a lot of regional impact.
Huge regional impact.
And,
right
of
now.
Course, the investor
especially
angle.
Especially in Seattle.
Right, precisely. Well, I mean, all around here. And then, you know, landlord-tenant law obviously speaks directly to the investor angle, right? And even on the residential side, a lot of people who are landlords sometimes don't think of themselves that way, because, like, maybe they bought another house and kept their old house as a rental, and they just don't really kind of think about themselves as this kind of a business owner, but it really is. So we wanted to bring you on and talk about some of these topics.
Oh yeah, and you're correct. It is a, you know, this is a business. Whether you're a small-time landlord that only has one or two properties, or whether you have 300 to 600 units, it still needs to be run as a business. And it's important to understand all the laws that may impact you and how to best approach them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there was a bunch of phenomenal questions that came up during that event, and I wanted to bring them to this show. One of the ones that I found fascinating, because, like, I have no smoking policies, because I'm an owner investor, right? And same thing with Eric.
Right.
And because the 420 is a big deal now in Washington, right? So there's a lot of legal cannabis and whatnot. I have no smoking policies in place for my properties. But when it's become illegalized, I mean, a bunch of people were asking the question, like, how does that affect my smoking policy? Because also for some folks, they're concerned that maybe if there's that going on, that maybe there's some other things like that are not legal that could be happening as well. So how does somebody approach that?
Sure. Well, it's still smoke. So it's still going to be, if you have a no smoking policy, it's still going to be a violation of your lease agreement. If you are smoking marijuana, or whether you're smoking cigarettes or whatever you're smoking, it's going to be against that violation, or it's going to be a violation of your lease agreement. In addition to that, while it is legal under Washington law, it is still illegal under federal law.
Right.
Now, the level of enforcement that we've seen over the past couple of years has gone down a lot, but there are still repercussions for a landlord who does have illegal marijuana going on at the property, whether it be a grower operation or even somebody just smoking. There are potential repercussions of the federal government stepping
well,
in.
Well, if it's a grow operation, not a legal one, as an owner, you could lose your house, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, so they could take that in a...
It can be seized.
It can be seized, even if the person who does the violation doesn't own the home?
If you know about it.
Oh.
That is a fear among some of the landlords that I've dealt with in the past. That is a fear that if the property... if the federal government does find out that there's a grow operation going on in that property, that they may be seized.
Okay.
With marijuana, the best course of action on this is going to be don't allow it at the property. It's still illegal under federal law. Enforce your no smoking policy.
Right. Okay. And if somebody has a smoking policy, I guess just direct them to your friend down the street.
There you go. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Problem solved.
Go in the street.
Down the street. Yeah. Or go in the street. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of the two. Okay. Oh, my gosh. One of the other questions, and I love that you also brought some of the ones that you thought were kind of interesting. Companion animals. Those have come up a lot lately. And I know people are talking mostly because, like, airlines have been changing their companion animal policies. And we have to deal with it. I actually had a client. Another mutual client of Eric and I, who they knew the building they were buying into, a condo building, allowed cats, and they had a senior dog And they went, hey, what's, and they kept calling me up and saying, hey, what's it take to get an animal labeled as a service animal? And I went, I cannot answer that for you. Maybe Google it. I don't know. And I'm like, I can't do that. Like, I already told you what the policy is. Like, I can't be engaged in that question. Like, look it up. You have to deal with that with the HOA on your own. But how does somebody, a landlord, deal with that?
Well, a companion animal is allowed underneath fair housing, whether it's in a rental situation or whether you're living in a condo. If a tenant's disability is not readily apparent, you can ask for a doctor's letter prescribing it.
Okay, describe readily apparent, just so everyone knows the difference.
Well, I mean, if somebody's in a wheelchair, that's going to be readily apparent. Mm-hmm.
But emotional support dogs, not so much.
Yeah, it's going to, unless you can really read auras or something like that, it's going to be hard to...
How's your chi? Like, put that in your application question.
You look a little orange today.
Feeling a bit jaundiced.
But it is perfectly acceptable to, if the disability is not readily apparent, it's perfectly acceptable to go ahead and ask for a doctor's letter recommending that. Now, you can't ask for the underlying condition. You can just, a simple doctor's letter that states.
So you have to be careful with your questioning.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to be running into privacy issues, and that's not what you want to do.
Well, companion animal. So can we restrict the type of animal, like airlines have now? I don't think they'll allow, like, your companion
boa constrictor
or your you know, horse or whatever to be your companion.
I thought one actually just had approved ponies.
I believe underneath for an actual service animal, which is going to be different than a companion animal, a service animal can be a dog or a small horse. Those are the two definitions of what kind of animals are going to fit within that definition.
There you go.
Now, with a companion animal, I've seen things such as companion plants. I don't know what a companion plant. A doctor's recommendation for a companion plant. The advice that we usually give is it worth facing down a discrimination lawsuit if you're rejected?
Okay.
So.
I guess pet rocks are going to make a comeback.
Oh, good. Never know.
Sorry. I'm not dissing that because I do know people who need companion animals, so I'm not dissing that. It's like.
And this kind of leads us down the path, though, Ryan. I mean, as a landlord, and especially if I am new to being a landlord or I own just a few properties, you know, sometimes the biggest risk is not knowing what you don't know. And that's something that can kind of come up here. But when we come back, we're going to dig right back into that. We got lots and lots of questions for you and want to know especially what rules specifically apply to Seattle and how that all goes. So stay tuned. More Open House with Team Reba.
Open House with Team Reba on AM 1590. The Answer.